Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues day by day. I pray that you're tuned in, that you call others and invite them to join the broadcast each day. And let me remind you, as you listen, we invite you to participate in the dialogue and the discussion about the issue each and every day. And let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion about the issue. We'll be talking about countdown to calamity. Countdown to calamity. We're on the fast track, ladies and gentlemen, for what the political left's calling the end of the world. They're talking about it, about the Green New Deal, and we'll talk about it during the course of this broadcast today. They have clocks set up. It's the climate clock that is set up around the globe. It's called the climate clock, and they're counting down. Some of the clocks say we have 8 years and something left. Some say that it's about 7 years, some a little over 6 years. But nevertheless, it is on the countdown for the destruction of the globe, as the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist left have us to believe. And yes, there is a countdown, but it's God's countdown. And on God's calendar, we are on the fast track for the end of the world. We're going to talk about that today, how the two elements connect and how the left unknowingly are exactly right with their countdown and what they're talking about with the end of the world. And it is my desire to have you understand that we are in the last of the last days, according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inert word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on philosophy. It's not based on political ideological bent. It's not based on denominational dogma. But our stand is based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inert word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my words, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus makes the declaratory statement in John 14, 6, when he says, "I am truth." Further, he states in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that I commend to you each and every day. It's not a matter of what AOC says, or Chuck Schumer, or Nancy Pelosi, or Joe Biden and his socialist Marxist staff that's being carried out, the itinerary being carried out behind the scenes with Barack Hussein Obama as he is on the fast track through the Trojan horse Biden with the Biden administration. Obama's on the fast track to fundamentally change America. As Biden's campaign slogan was, "Build Back Better." It's to tear down the present a constitutional republic and institute a socialist, Marxist, communist dictatorship that we see on the fast track today. And that is part and parcel of what shall take place during the last days, leading to a global economy, a global governance, and a global church. Revelation chapter 17, Revelation chapter 18 validates that, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end result of what we see taking place today. And it is because God is sovereign, God is in control, God's still on the throne, and God's going to be the one that ultimately has the final say-so. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at society today and we think about truth, we need to understand it was George Orwell, the secularist, in his dystopian novel, fictional novel, 1984 was the title of it, where George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that taking place today more than ever in the history of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the 15th century church reformer and theologian that said this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that's what you see and that's what you hear loud and clear on this broadcast each and every day. It's the admonition for Christians to stand for the truth. There's no place in the Word of God for compromise. And yet you find compromise being the order of the day in Washington with what they call reaching across the aisle. It's nothing less than compromise. And God will not have us to compromise the Word of God. We cannot compromise our faith. We cannot compromise the morals and the ethics and the values that set forth in the Word of God. But yet we find Christians today wanting to appease, and therefore they compromise in order to get what they want and what they feel is needful rather than standing. And I believe there's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe it's very, very soon. It's right around the corner, if you would put it in the young blood vernacular, where we're going to have to stand for truth and defend the truth even if it means death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about landscape equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Where is it located? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark that is there. It's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, find the flag flowing at that intersection, ladies and gentlemen. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, or if you realize it, or if you take what's happening in society today and find a biblical concept and a biblical construct that will absolutely allow us to see God is sovereign and God is still on his throne. It was, ladies and gentlemen, back in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, where it talked about the days that are coming, and the scripture is very, very clear. Jesus' disciples had asked him the question, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And then in Matthew 24, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ lays out in definitive categorical order with the order of what is going to take place in the last of the last days. Now, I'm not going to try to preach a message on eschatological truth, but I'm going to take what is current and what is taking place in the world today and point out to you how it is the fulfillment of the Word of God in the eschatological time frame, the eschatological clock that is ticking for the end of the time. Keep in mind, Jesus' disciples ask him the questions, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? They asked three basic questions for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave them an order in which these things will take place and what shall happen. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, there's needful today for the child of God, for the Christian, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the conservatives, the patriots. I believe it's time that we realize that it's not just the political left that's in charge. It's not just the political willy-nilly of AOC and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden that's making the decisions, although they are from a human perspective. God is still on the throne and God is still in control. And what we see taking place is not willy-nilly. It's not happenstance from the standpoint of what God is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe God's time clock is ticking every day. Every day that passes, we're seeing it closer and closer to what the Bible calls the last days or the end of the time, or as Jesus said, and the end of this world. I believe the eschatological clock of God is ticking each and every day. And what we need to understand is how to recognize what is happening and how to identify it based on the authority of the Word of God. I believe we're watching the old world wrap up. Frankly, I find it amusing and quite interesting that the lost world, the political fruitcakes, as I call them, are now establishing a time frame for what they say will be the end of the world as we know it today. Did you know that? Did you know the loony left talking about the end of the world? They're talking about the eschatological fact that the world is going to end. They do not realize, they're ignorant of the word of God, I'm sure, do not realize that what they're saying is absolutely prophetically true based on the authority of Scripture. Not what they're doing, not what they the hypothetical points that they're making. That's not what the point, not the point that I'm making. But ladies and gentlemen, they're saying the world is coming to an end. In fact, the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party has established what they call the climate clock. The climate clock. Now, I could call it the eschatological clock. I could call it the end of the world clock. I could call it God's time clock. But they're calling it the the climate clock, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, it has its basis for the push for the Green New Deal. And by the way, this new $2 trillion package that they're wanting to pass, and they'll shove it through the House, they'll shove it through the Senate. Joe Biden will sign it. And they're talking about the infrastructure bill. But the infrastructure bill has about I believe it's either 5 to 9% of the $2 trillion that will go for roads and bridges and things of that nature. The balance of it will be simply just as the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill that had nothing to do with COVID whatsoever. It's the way that the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats are funding the blue cities and the blue states, those that are the left-wing loonies, as I would call them today. They're funding it. And they're going to do that through this procedure. But the most of this thing in this new infrastructure bill is doing nothing but implementing, hear me, it's implementing the Green New Deal. It's implementing the Bernie Sanders and the AOC Green New Deal. That's all it's doing. And it's hatched out of Bernie Sanders and AOC, but it's coming about, ladies and gentlemen, through a so-called infrastructure bill. The clock is this. The climate clock, ladies and gentlemen, is displayed in New York. And as I understand it, in the research that I did, my son sent me an article on that last evening, one of our boys, he sent that to me. In fact, during the course of the conversation with him, he talked about it. And I was not aware that this was taking place. It is refreshing to understand that these Green New Deal Looney Tunes are actually implementing this and setting it up. I'm looking at a large picture here on a sheet of paper, and it says 6 years, 256 days, 22 hours before the world comes to an end. That's one of the time clocks. And it says about science, our story, get joined in your city today. And further in this article, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the climate clock, let me read you what it says in relationship to it. It says, know the numbers. The climate clock shows two numbers. The first in red is a timer counting down how long it will take at the current rate of emissions to burn through the carbon budget, the amount of CO2 that can still be released into the atmosphere while limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees centigrade above pre-industrial levels. They want to bring us back, ladies and gentlemen, to pre-industrial, that is, prior to having the industrialization of America, having manufacturing plants. These climate czars, these climate folks, think that somehow, some way, they can take away all carbon that's going into the atmosphere, and they want to take us back to the pre-industrial level. According to this article, it says, this is our deadline, the time we have left to take decisive action to keep warming under the 1.5 centigrade threshold. The second number in green is the tracking of the growing of the percent of the world's energy currently supplied for renewable sources. This is our lifeline. Simply put, we need to get our lifeline to 100% level. And further, the article states, we offer the climate clock to the worldwide climate movement as an international coordinated open source project. If you are a private firm, big NGO, government, government or city government, our office, or major university, please contact us that we can get you the climate clock. We encourage you to erect an iconic clock, climate clock in your own locale. joining the recently unveiled New York City clock. That is a 40 by 40 meter clock on the historic Gasometer in Berlin. These climate clocks are drawing the world's attention to the urgency of action. But if our species is to survive, we need to contact and construct this climate clock as a reminder of the climate deadline that is looming before us. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get the record straight. What they are doing with the climate clock, they are affirming from their position that the world has between six, some of these clocks show six, some of them show eight, some are a little under eight, a little over eight, some about 7 years before the end of the world. Now, what they do not realize, ladies and gentlemen, in my most humble opinion, they do not realize that they're answering the question that Jesus' disciples ask him. And again, those questions they ask, how shall these things be? When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take, during the course of this broadcast, we're going to talk about some of these signs and what's taking place. But the climate clock is setting the stage. They believe that the world's coming to an end if we do not stop the carbon emissions. And so they're setting a climate clock to make that affirmation that we have 6, 7, 8, 9 years to go. And I'm going to tell you during the course of this broadcast how they're pretty much on target with those years, in my most humble opinion, not because they're right theologically, not because they're right doctrinally or biblically, not because they know what the scripture says in that realm, but because of their ignorance, they're setting the stage for the wrap-up, the wind-up of this old world and the end coming, as Jesus told his disciples would take place, as outlined in Revelation and Matthew chapter 24, as we see in the text. I believe we have Tom on the line. Give me the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you. Are you aware that OAC and our other crackpots, what they tell us is if we'll shut all the coal-fired plants, which we have one here in Jacksonville, you know, we have a coal-fired plant, if we'll shut them all down, we'll save the environment. That those coal-fired plants are putting so much CO2 in the air that we're going to kill ourselves. So, Dr. Youngblood, my question to you is, you know there's one here. How many total coal fire plants are in America?
I don't know the number, but I know it's been greatly reduced since the era of Obama when he started shutting down the coal fired plants and stopping the coal production. And I do know it's not just
The answer, Dr. Youngblood, there's 15.
15. Now, well, you say not only the coal-fired plants, but the coal-fired plants, but they're saying that we got to stop having beef. We've got to stop eating hamburger meat, beef meat, and it is the Looney Tune Bill Gates that's already created a fabricated beef, because they say that if we stop having cattle, we'll stop the cattle flatulence, which is destroying the ozone, according to their misguided belief.
But if we stay on track with what OAC, she says the coal-fired plants burning this coal is going to, we're going to have global warming, we're going to have flooding, it's just going to be chaos. So we know that what she says, there's 15 plants in the United States that make power with coal. Okay, my next question to you, Dr. Youngblood, how many coal-fired plants? And also, there's none being built in the United States. Zero.
That is correct.
Okay. So my next question to you is, how many coal-fired plants are in the world?
I have no idea.
There's 5,623 coal-fired plants. So, but somehow, if we shut these 15 down, we can sing Kumbawa. Dr. Youngblood, the Democrats are demonic, and compared to a Christian, they're stupid. And
absolutely,
all it is, it's control. It has nothing to do with carbon emissions.
Brother, you're exactly right, 100%. But listen, just as we believe that they're nuts, just as we believe they're crazies, just as we believe they're buffoons with what they think, they really think that they are here to save planet Earth. That is their warp. It becomes a religion with them, that they are following their religious path, as I would call it, in the belief that somehow, some way, they've got to save the world. And what I want us to understand...
I kind of did believe that, but don't you really think a Democrat like Bill Clinton, Obama, they can't create a darn thing. They can't create anything. All they are is middle-class kind of people. They want to get rich, so they go into government. They do a lot of lying, a lot of stealing. A guy like Trump can build something. And if the Trumps of this world, the people that work hard, that don't steal, that build something, ever get away and get out of their hands, they're basically helpless. So they've got to control everything in order to really to be relevant.
You're exactly right. And one of the things, Tom, if I can tuck this in at this point in our conversation, you see, according to the scripture, there'll come a day when there will be a one world government. There'll be a one world economic system. There'll be a one world religious system. And what we're watching is the precursor to that being brought about by the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party. And again, it goes back to they're operating on what they think is brilliant, but it's their ignorance of what they're doing that's bringing it about. But God is still using this to fulfill his eschatological future for the end of the world.
Exactly.
And that's what we see taking place.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for your diligence and your broadcast. You're such a blessing to so many. Thank you, and God bless
you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your comments and for your compliments. It is... humbling to hear that, and I'm thankful for the opportunity each and every day. I believe I have Greg on the line. Go over the question, the comment, please.
Kind of fits with the Romans 1 text. You know, they're worshiping the creation more than the creator. It's interesting to note the deception over the years. If you step back in time 40, 50 years ago, the left proclaimed we were headed for a great ice age. I mean, I have the National Geographic on my desk. They were saying that the planet was headed for an ice age. We needed to change our ways. Otherwise, you know, we would all be subject to, you know, freezing to death. And, a few decades later, they started this global warming mantra. Al Gore really fancied that, that terminology, said that the polar ice caps would be denuded of ice by the year 2000 or the year 2012, something like that. You know what? We went to a global, maximum, more ice on, I believe, Antarctica than had ever been recorded. And it's interesting that they shifted from the, ice age we're headed toward, global warming. Now they call it global, anthropogenic, man-caused, global climate change, catastrophic anthropogenic global climate change. So they've shifted their terminology three times, gone two different directions, and now they're in the middle. So if it gets hotter, climate change is real. If it gets colder, climate change is real. If it rains more, climate change is real. If it rains less, you know what? Climate changes. There's never been a state of climate static. You know, stand still, it doesn't move up or down. It's never existed. As a matter of fact, I would point folks to a very interesting note in Alaska. It's called the Mendenhall Glacier. It's been in retreat for over 100 years. That'll give you an idea of how big the glacier is. Ginormous, okay? But there's an interesting thing taking place at the Mendenhall Glacier. This has been going on for decades now. As it retreats, things are popping out from underneath the ice. Stumps of trees that were over 1,000 years old, popping out from underneath the ice. You know what that means? There was a stinking forest underneath that glacier before the glacier was formed. You got that? So
that's right.
So tell me, what caused it to be so warm on the planet that where Mendenhall Glacier is, there used to be a forest? Was it the SUVs? Was it the cow flatulence? Tell me what it was that made the planet so warm that underneath Mendenhall Glacier, before it existed, there was a forest. these people are, we're not, they're not applying any sort of common sense. They will admit that, hey, we've been in a warming trend for about 300 years. Okay, congratulations. We've been a warming trend for about 300 years. Tell me, what started that trend? Was it the cow flatulence? Was it the issue? Was it the coal-fired generation plants? These folks are making no sense. When you explore the data, a simpleton can tell you they're not making any sense. It is ridiculous. It's all bogus, every bit of it. It has to do with controlling you, taxing you for more, and grabbing more centralized control in D.C. and the United Nations. That's all it's about.
Greg, you're exactly right. One of the things, just as with the COVID-19, it's operating off a basis that can cause people to be fearful. And a person, a people, a nation that's living in fear will submit to the government mandates because they're fearful for their life, fearful for their health, fearful for their finances, fearful for the future, and therefore they will submit to that global approach that is taking place today around the world. It is the fear factor that is taking place. In fact, it was Tucker Carlson recently on one of his national television programs says they're trying to control you by fear, and that's exactly what we see taking place. Greg, just tuck this in for the benefit of our listeners. I'm thankful that I had the privilege to be high in the mountains with you for a few days last week as we did our broadcast from, as you call it, the southern tip of heaven. And I'm thankful to have been there with you and thankful that we had that opportunity. And I pray that the sun is shining today. And it was a blessing, and I just wanted you to know that again and for our listeners to understand the joy that I had and the blessing for being there and being able to do our broadcast from your home while in the southern tip of heaven. I believe the actual state is Tennessee. But
thoroughly enjoyed every bit of it. Now, the question is, do the pictures do it justice?
I think they do. In fact, that is a wonderful scene. And for our listeners that are not familiar, your home is up on a mountainside, and then you've got the looming Smoky Mountains all around you, and it's a beautiful, beautiful scene high on the hillside there, up near the mountaintops. And so I'm thankful. Greg, we were talking about just a moment ago with Tom's call, talking about the coal-fired plants, and it causes me to think about the fact that if we shut down all the plants, as he suggested, if we shut down all the plants in America, it's not going to change the atmospheric change or the carbon emission that's going up from the other 5,000 plus around the world. We're not talking about trying to shut them down, just shutting the ones down in America. They want to go to all electric. They're talking about having all electric cars by the year 2030 or 2035, I believe it is, with different car manufacturers. Where do we get electricity from?
It's the pixie dust. It's the magic tricks. It's, you know, you plug that electric car into the wall and it just miraculously electricity pours out of that wall. Literally, if we go all electric the way some of these folks would like for us to do, we're going to have to dramatically increase the number of power production plants that we have, dramatically increase the overall electricity production. We're going to have to bore tens of millions of additional cubic yards of material out of the earth so we can crush it and process it and get the lithium out so we can make all those lithium batteries. We're going to have to make a whole bunch more of these 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds in countries that are mostly brown skins. We're going to have to make them work 20-hour days so we can get all this lithium to make the batteries to put in our cars and put in our houses. Do you understand, folks? I mean, it's not pixie dust. It's still electricity has to be produced. These folks, here's something, and I think it's interesting that you brought up the Wuhan flu, brought up the vaccinations again, and the control factor. I understand a lot of these folks that are pushing the fear factors everywhere. They're also eugenists. They believe the population of the planet should decrease, should decline. We need to realize if you think carbon emissions are pollutants, you are a pollutant. Think about that.
That's exactly right, Greg. I don't know if you're home or traveling or at your office, but if you have a moment to hang on right after the news, we'll continue this dialogue and conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.